Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
A frosty mug for the Funch. I feel like the Funch would be the name of a Chuck E. Cheese character.
It's just by the name of that big purple one.
Well, like I think his name was Munch, wasn't it?
Yeah. He would be the closest to me.
Yeah, so like it would be he would be like a close relative to Munch. Hey Munch, I hear your cousin is in town. He just comes out, starts singing.
Do you have nicknames on?
I mean, just the ones that like comics have given me now would be like, you know, Honey Funches of Oats. Or
Honey Funches of Oats.
My mom calls me Funchadelic sometimes.
Funchadelic. And here's what I like about you. Some guests who come on this podcast, we always
say, complimented immediately, by the way, when you come on our podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We are an ego booster. But like some guests we've had on this thing, they come in and they will remain nameless. We always ask people like, what can we have to make you comfortable? And they'll be like, oh, this bottle of whiskey that's really expensive. And I'm like, not that many people go to Amazon.com through our banner. We can't afford that kind of whiskey. But
yeah, Joey McIntyre of the New Kids on the Block was here, and he brought his own bottle of gin or whiskey?
He brought whiskey because I had some and I hate gin.
Time,
so
what time were you doing this?
That was about 2 months ago.
No, yeah. What time in the day?
That's a great question. I think it was like 7:30
in the morning. No, and like, he just came in when I got kids. Let's get wasted.
Let's talk.
Let's do this. Don't you dare mention Donnie. But he brought his own. But you came in. You said, man, just give me a root beer and some red vines. And I love that about you. Cause you're,
are those your go-to snacks?
They're definitely some of my favorites. I'm really more of a cherry Coke guy. That's my main soda.
If you could be sponsored by one soda.
It would be by the good people of Roy Rogers.
Oh, right.
Great call.
I you know what? Well, we have a large listenership in Atlanta. Some of them is probably related to the Coca-Cola family. Hey, guys, get on this Ron Funch's train.
Dude, I don't know why, but like,
slap a cherry Coke banner on your sweater like you're a fucking NASCAR driver.
Dude, we're going to get to that point where comics are like wearing like, you know, like Chris D'Elia could be wearing Mr. Pibb fucking hoodies. In the next
why aren't we already? I want to get to that point. So you don't want to be a corporate sellout. Will the corporate sellout pay my mortgage? Yes, done.
Well, here's the thing.
Throw fucking Centrum on me. I don't care.
I always thought.
Yeah, I went with vitamins.
Centrum Brad Williams comedy show.
I don't think vitamins would be a great sponsor for a midget because I'd walk on stage and be like, well, he obviously did not take those vitamins because look at him. So I don't know, maybe something else like step stools or chocolate or something like that.
Yeah.
Step stools and chocolate.
Maybe chocolate step stools.
Chocolate step stools.
We're actually playing at the Troubadour on Friday.
They are. They're a solid band, the chocolate step stools.
No, always thought that shoes or like a doll was like the sign of like making, like when we, Jaleel White, who you just kicked it with,
Yeah.
He's been on this podcast 3 times, and we went to his house and saw his doll in his house, and that fucking blew my mind, because I had that doll.
Yeah.
And to me, I was always like, if there's a doll of you, you did something right for people to, like, put you up on a high pedestal. But being having a soda sponsor you and having cool commercials and, like, that seems like it might be the
here
best.
Here are the things that I would like. Definitely a doll. A doll would be amazing.
Dude, can I be honest? A Funch's doll is highly probable in
absolutely.
Your future.
Absolutely. I would totally get a Funch's doll and not in a creepy way.
I hope you're – well, it's obviously the creepy way if it's you getting it. But your team has to be formulating ideas around
for dolls.
Yes. Funches doll. If they're not, I'm going
to
send them all an email. All right. So what do you want? A doll?
And as long as you squeeze a doll and it has your laugh, if it has your laugh, I'm in. I'm done.
I can see that. I would like, I think, like, in the 90s, my favorite things was when, like, rappers like Redman would mention a rapper. And they'd be like, oh, you think you funny like Dave Chappelle? You know, like that. Oh, I would love that. If, like, a rapper, it could still be Redman. I love Redman. But any rapper who was like, oh, you think you funny like Ron Funk?
It'd be over.
A shout out on the album.
Yeah. Pitbull did that with Cat Williams. Like, you said, like, wouldn't it be weird if Cat Williams had no jokes? And I heard that, and as a comic, you're right. You're like, oh, fuck, I want Jay-Z to drop my name in a song.
Yeah,
that'd be nuts.
Like, not even like, what's up, but like, oh, you know who's got jokes.
Yeah.
Or who's funny.
Right.
This comedian.
Ron Funches.
And that's a metaphor to my rhymes. And then what? Also, like, a strain of weed. That would be the best.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Would it be called Funch Munch?
Oh, my God, it is now.
I think the Funches strain of weed would be called Funch Munch.
I would love that.
Dude, you look like the most chill man in the world right now. You got your root beer, your red vines, you're wearing an NWO hoodie.
For life.
Which, Adam, you don't know about the NWO, do you?
They're the ones who wrote OPP?
Yeah, you know me.
No, that's NWA, right?
Yeah, that's NWA.
No, that's not even that.
It's
not by nature, motherfucker.
That's right. Hey, I knew there was an N involved. Ice Cube is going to come over here and stab you right now.
Wait, NWA. That might be a brand of fleece in Seattle that I bought.
Hey, right after fuck the police, let's work on hip hop hooray.
Oh, perfect. Adam just lost all his street cred.
I mean, I have as
much street cred as a Jew from Seattle has.
Hey,
Adam,
man,
just lost it.
I've got a pretty, and I know I'm wearing a fucking sweater that looks like Bill Cosby stole it from Mark Curry. But I have a very eclectic knowledge of 90s music. Like, hey, man, Keith Sweat, All for One, Color Me Bad, Jodeci, Jamiroquai, big fans.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's all the same type of music.
You got it, Ron Funches. And we'll be right back with more Adam Likes the Same Type of Fucking Catchy Tunes.
Well, and by music, you just mean good type of music, then yeah.
I love your realization, like, I listed it.
I have this eclectic list.
I'm just totally eclectic.
Of the same guy. Actually, right. You know what? That's actually like being like, you know what that's comparable to? Is being like, I have a wide range of rock music. I like Vertical Horizon, the Goo Goo Dolls, the Verve Pipe. Hey, man, don't knock Bittersweet Symphony. That was the background soundtrack to Sarah Michelle Gellar and that other girl making out in Cruel Intentions.
It was. And that was like when lesbian kisses on movies was still a huge thing.
Just didn't give it up for that movie. Rest
he just
in peace.
Did. Yeah, he just
Let
did it.
Let us never forget.
Let us never forget Cruel Intentions.
Dude,
you know
what? One of the first lesbian makeout scenes that I remember seeing, other than Wild Things.
Yeah, that was only the next words out of my mouth.
That was Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair.
Selma Blair.
They
call Drink 2 if you're at home, because that's the first Selma Blair reference on this podcast.
All right.
Now, Ron, why were you hanging out with our boy Jaleel?
I was working on Drunk History, doing some acting.
Shut the fuck up.
Not
that's
narrating.
That you know what's great show?
You've been on two of my. I don't watch a lot of TV, and shows I will watch religiously are Kroll Show, Drunk History, maybe some Sports Center. The comeback when it was on with Lisa Kudrow.
Obviously.
Which I think is coming back.
Yeah, ironically.
And The Office and Weeds. But, dude, you are on two of those five.
Yeah.
What was Drunk History like?
It was really fun because I got to be in a history that I cared about. I was in the creation of Rapper's Delight.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Play DJ Kool Herc.
You got to play Kool Herc.
That was Kool Herc.
Oh, please tell me they gave you, like, a big necklace like he wore.
I wish. They gave me, like, a leather jacket, some big leather boots, and his hat.
Yeah.
And so I just did that and got to work with Jaleel and Retta.
Retta from Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I know, she's great.
Yeah, I've always, I'm a big fan. I've always wanted to work with her. So
It's funny, you say Retta and think Parks and Rec. I think Game Night on NBC, right?
She came on.
Add that to your list of things you want when you get famous, being
right?
on Hollywood Game Night.
Being on Hollywood Game
Where
Night.
Like, my average night is what you're going to put on TV. Like, let's just hang it out.
Yeah. Hanging out with Ron Funches. I'd watch that show. Just like all the guests just come and get red vines and root beer and you just chill.
Just naps.
You would.
Are you a napper?
Oh, yeah. I was napping before I came here.
Fuck yeah. Dude, I just read this article where, I mean, I've known that naps are crucial to survival, but sure. also, like, sometimes your body's just like, hey, if you stay up, man, I'm going to make some bad decisions right now.
Yeah.
How many times you nap a day?
It depends on what I have to do. You know, yeah. It depends on the schedule that's put before me.
Right.
Like, you know, but if I could have it my way, like I get up early, like I get up at like 8, I go to the gym, write for a bit, and then I'm napping between like 1 and 4.
Perfect.
Like that's just great. Getting rid of that afternoon.
Yes. Well, get rid of the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about like when I started doing comedy, it was like, oh man, you're doing comedy. Great. You're going to work 20 minutes a night or maybe an hour. It's great. Stay up. Sleep till noon. I'm like, well, fuck. Like I got to wake up. Like I'm a road guy. So I wake up twice a week to catch the 6 a.m. flight at 4 o'clock in the morning. Got to do morning radio at least one of those days. When the fuck does the sleep till noon shit kick in?
Yeah.
But like I tell people I'm a night person and I'm a morning person. Middle of the day, fucking gone.
Yeah.
That
gross.
That peak nap time right there.
So what is your evening consists of comedy?
Evening comedy, out at night, stay up. Like, I think it's the best. That way you're at your best. You're not worn down
right.
at night. I'm like,
you got a peak.
I'm peaking at night. And so I feel the best, especially since my comedy is already pretty low tone, you know? Mm-hmm. I like to still perform. So I want to be able to be like, oh, he was stoned and tired.
Sure. I was going to ask how cognizant you are of your low energy. And yeah. think, but like, here's the thing. It's not low energy. It's just a softer tone, and you're right, because you are still performing. You can't just you know, Stephen Wright with very a monotone type of delivery and real like,
but very calculated.
He's still locked in and still aware that he's bringing it.
Yeah, because you want to keep your rhythm together, and then the more I'm doing like headline sets, the more, you know, I know like, oh, I can't just give you that rhythm over and over and over. You're gonna fall asleep, and I understand it's making mm-hmm. me sleepy.
Yeah,
so like, I have to learn how to break that rhythm, do something else, go back into it. You know, and that's something. Yeah, I'm very aware of.
Have you always been that style, or did you start off when?
I mean, I'm just like me. You know,
yeah. But I mean, the first day you got on stage, were you just how you are now?
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I started. You know, at the beginning, I was trying to just succeed. So I'd be like, the guy would come out like, who's drinking? Like, who's got a birthday?
You were Black Pauly Shore?
Yeah.
Who's drinking body?
That's actually a care. If I could make this work, that's what, like, I would catch that. Like, my Romanian always catches me. Like, I'll say something that sounds like Pauly Shore, and then we'll just go, Black Weasel. Like,
oh.
Like, if there's a way I can make money off of being Black Weasel.
Oh my God. Can Samuel L. Jackson be in Black Weasel? I want that movie to happen so bad.
There's too many weasels on this motherfucking tractor. It's like a son-in-law thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, yes.
Oh, Black Son-in-Law.
Because that was his best movie to me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Son-in-law, oh. Biodome.
Bring back fucking Pam Grier, Samuel L. Jackson, and Ron Funches in this summer in Black Weasel. Just keep Tyler Perry away from that shit.
directed by Mick G.
Yeah.
And then at night, do you like video games?
Yeah, yeah.
What's your go-to?
What do you mean? System-wise or game-wise? What are you trying to do?
That says a lot right there.
Yeah.
System-wise. Well, let me first of all tell you that my mom wouldn't let me have a video game system until sixth grade, and I got a Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Right, I got there some money from my bar mitzvah, and she goes, you can use your fucking cash and go,
like your mom.
Yeah, yeah.
You can use your fucking cash. I would not give a shit.
Mom's a fucking drug dealer.
I gotta stop fucking when I talk about my mom and referencing the past and her in the story. I gotta stop making her out to be fucking Tony Montana.
All right, Adam, let me tell you,
fucking cash.
First, see it, first you get the bar mitzvah money, yeah. Then you get the Super Nintendo. You get the pussy. What? Yeah. Mom. That's weird.
Like, I'd buy drugs if I was you.
It was your money.
Start your business right, but if you won't play fucking games.
You know what's great about the Super Nintendo? You got Mario All-Stars with it. So you got all four Marios.
That's a great game.
And then I picked up a couple sports games, because that's what I'm
into. You do.
Then after that, Sega Saturn came out, and I was one of probably 10 people who jumped on that bandwagon.
Sega Saturn.
Okay.
Was that Ninja Gaiden? Was that Ninja? There's like some ninja game on that one. That
no, it
like,
came with Gran Turismo.
No, you're. I mean, I don't want
to. Ooh, Oof.
Come on, your podcast.
Punch is throwing down the game knowledge.
Ron, Gran Turismo was a part of Sega Saturn.
No.
What? It wasn't?
Not at all.
Dreamcast?
It's a Sony PlayStation game. Gran Turismo.
But, you're right.
Drop knowledge.
No, he's right. Okay, what was the race car?
Sega Saturn, you're probably talking about Daytona, USA.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. And I play that game religiously.
Yeah, that was the trick. When they were going out of business,
yeah.
But they weren't telling the kids. And so, like, they were like, hey, here's three games in one.
Yes.
Virtual Fighter 2.
Virtual Fighter, remember
Daytona,
that one.
USA, oh and God. Virtual Cop. And so I was like, fuck yeah.
Me too.
$300 and I get three great games? Why not? Not knowing that there'll never be another good game to come out for it.
They had no other games that came out. Like, we're only having three games, kids.
Yeah, that's it.
Sleep tight.
Play an inferior version of Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Yeah.
Virtual Cop is pretty
what
cool.
What about, like, back in the day, like Zelda and shit?
Yeah. I've been a big gamer since I was a little kid. So I played all Zelda. Zelda's probably my favorite series. Like, I love Zelda.
There was multiple Zeldas?
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Come on, man.
So many Zeldas.
Now, I don't know why they haven't made that Zeldas. A live-action movie. Because Zelda, to me, first of all, the name is smoking hot.
Even though it's a dude.
And I judge my video game turned into movies by the name, by the sexiness of the lead female character.
Zelda.
Yeah. Right? That should, I mean.
Yeah, that is kind of in that world of kind of
Jennifer Hudson or Lawrence or Hudson.
The Mario movie probably scared them away.
Dude, Bob Hoskins and Leguizamo.
It's not that bad. It's
not bad
horrible.
At all.
Don't forget Dennis Hopper as fucking King Koopa.
As Koopa.
And I don't know who that princess was, but she was hot. That worked. I remember there was one scene in the Super Mario Brothers movie where they literally, to get away from the Koopa Troopas, whatever, they rocked them back and forth. Right? Do you remember that scene? Like, they rocked them back and forth, and they, like, started smiling. Like, what were the writers smoking when they're like, they're cornered in an elevator. How do they get out? Let's have them rock back and forth.
Made a movie off of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show with Captain Lou Albano, and that would have been awesome.
That was so good.
Loved it.
Oh, my God. This is like, all the stoners are listening to this podcast. They're like, finally, they're speaking my language.
Finally, there's a guy that comes on.
This is my shit.
Knows what he's talking about.
All this Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig stuff? No.
Get out of here talking about having sex with groupies. And
which is what Lisa Kudrow does all the time.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah. What, for me, video games is at their best when I'm stoned.
Yeah.
Do you share the similar sentiments?
Yeah.
With that laugh? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Just a good way to chill out. I don't play them as much as I used to just because I'm busy.
Well, you're on a hit TV show that's coming out. Yeah. May 29th, 8 p.m., Undateable NBC.
There you go.
9-8 syndrome.
You are the third member of the Undateable cast to now come on this podcast.
Nice. You guys had Chris and Brent, I'm assuming.
You got it.
Yeah, because Rick's not famous.
No, Rick's too weird. Rick's too weird for this podcast. We've got to slowly, we got to up our listeners. We got to make sure our listeners really trust our program.
Yeah.
Before Rick comes on.
We'll be like, all right, guys, we're throwing you a curveball here, but stick with us.
It's good. See, Rick's a genius. Rick,
yeah, he is.
He's an old dirty bastard. He's crazy.
You're genius. You know what? People throw that to him around in this business a lot. Like, what, you know, like, did you see, you know, the live musical of, you know, Steel Magnolias? It was genius, you know, or I was hoping you guys would laugh at that, but everybody just thought that was a real review.
Yeah, we did. We all got locked in.
No, like, that was me. I was believing you. Like, that sounds like a good idea. Like,
genius.
Oh, my God, that's a date movie.
Well,
you
I thought
around, bring your girl to that one. You're getting head that night for sure.
I say that Bill Murray's performance in Space Jam was genius, but, you know, I don't think I'm alone in that.
I would agree. Him and Wayne Knight, absolutely underrated in their performances in Space Jam.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But Rick is on another planet. He actually went to the In Living Color audition. We were both there, right, when they were looking for some white dudes. And
some black white guys.
Yeah, yeah. Those black white guys. Well, they said they're looking for the next Jim Carrey, which it's just like, come on, stop saying
Don't
that.
Say you're looking for the next Jim Carrey.
Sure.
Say you're looking for the first Adam Ray. How about that?
Well, that's...
Say you're looking for a talented person.
Yeah.
There you go.
And so Rick, I hear him in the audition, and he does an impression of Mike. One of his characters is Michael Richards' son. And he proceeds to drop several N-bombs in the audition. He's told you the story.
No, I gotta hear about
it. Oh, my God.
In front of Keenan?
No, in front of Julie Ashton, the casting director, and I don't think that anybody else was in there. And she's not laughing. He tells me he's about to do it before he goes in, and I'm like, I don't know about that, man. I go, but I know you, and yeah. I think you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, yeah,
tell
you no not matter to. What.
You're not going to talk him out of it.
So, and he said he did it, and I couldn't even stick around to hear it because I just was like that uneasy. I didn't even want to be in the room, and then I see him at the basketball game the other night, and he's like, I did it. He's like, it was terrible. She did not laugh. At all, it was super weird, but I did it, and I was like, you know what, Rick, I gotta be honest, man, you make really bold choices, and at some point there's going to be room for what you're doing.
Sure.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what we talk about, like, if because you can't teach what he has.
No.
And then everything that he's lacking can be taught through experience.
Yep.
And once he puts those together, people are going to be like,
there's a level of commitment that's uncharted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Rick is wild.
Yeah. Well, for a guy like Rick who just completely goes for it, you can't say that he's not going to be memorable. You can't say that casting directors aren't going to talk about him.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about him. And
well, if you drop 17 N-bombs in 4 minutes.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, another guy dropping 17 M-bombs at the Living Color audition? Like, no, that's not going to happen.
Another sweet Jewish boy.
Brent talked about the tour being so dope, and because you guys are traveling. I mean, dude, every other Instagram pic was fucking Beyonce's private jet, right? Had you been on a private jet before?
No, never.
You never want to fly commercial again, right?
No, never.
Yeah. Is that, yeah.
But I will. I will fly coach.
Yeah, I know.
Again.
Is that private jet thing not the coolest thing ever?
It's amazing, for the main reason being there's no security.
Yeah.
So I could take whatever I want there. If I wanted to bring guns, I could. But I didn't. I brought pot.
Yeah, buddy.
And that went okay. Nobody had a problem with
Nobody
it.
Has a problem, and the pilots are so chill. There's like, you guys need anything? You want some snacks? It's like, dude, you fly the plane, man. I'll worry about the snacks.
They're
right,
real relaxed.
And I've gotten to do it maybe twice in my life, but it's just you pull up and you just your car parks right next to the plane. You don't even like, and you just hop on, and the plane leaves when you get there. There's no security. There's no getting there an hour and a half before, and then when you land again, they valet your car right next to the plane, so you get right off the plane, right your car. It's just the best thing.
It is. It's not relatable to anybody, but it is amazing. I'd say that is probably the best thing that's happened to me. That and just the learning about having your clothes tailored for you.
What? That's been happening since the show? Oh,
just a little bit. Just at the concert, just when I bring stuff to them, which hasn't been happening because we haven't been shooting. But when you go like, oh, everybody's different sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are we trying to wear the same size? Why is it like we're all different, so your clothes should be tailored to you? I understand that that's probably crazy.
Yeah. Oh, dude, but you're speaking my language, because when the midget walks in and they go, all right, and the wardrobe person just rubs her hands together like, we got some business going down right now. And
somebody called Baby Gap.
We need all of their shit.
Yeah. Oshkosh Bagosh, you are about to go out of business.
Fire sale. We got this.
You grew up in Oregon, right?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Chicago, and I started comedy in Portland, Oregon.
That's a great city to start comedy in.
Yeah,
It's a smart audiences, very accepting audiences. Now, we talked about your pace earlier. Your pace is, like we said, a little slower, a little lower energy. And you said you were like, did you choose that? Did you just be like, I'm going to talk? But you said that's just you, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just me. Once I definitely got out of the trying to be, because when you're emceeing, you're trying to get attention.
Yeah.
That once I got past that, it was just like, well, these are my jokes, and this is how I talk.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely it's enhanced on stage.
Sure.
But it's, I think, seeing people, like, I was always a big fan of people like Todd Barry and Mitch Hedberg. And seeing Tig Notaro in Seattle one year, where she was like, the crowd was like nuts. I had performed on it, and I did okay. Everybody else was eating shit pretty much. And the crowd was just rowdy and drunk, and she just goes out there and never spoke above a whisper.
and like got them completely.
That's so funny you say that because she taught me that trick. Because I used to think that when the audience is talking, you yell over the audience to overpower them. But no, a lot of times you talk quieter, you get softer, and then the audience sort of self polices and goes like, "Oh shit, we can't hear." And then they quiet down. And it's such a ballsy thing to do because you're essentially giving the power to the audience in that scenario. But yeah, it's a good move.
Caring, and that's right. A good part of it. And I think once if you're yelling, you're constantly trying to speak over people.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just becomes white noise. So
right, and then the people that were talking, they don't care, so they're yelling louder to try to get hear it, and it's just going back and forth.
And you know what's great too about, like, first of all, you're a great writer. Like, you're a great writer.
No, that makes me feel good. I've been so upset lately.
Oh yeah, well for sure. Well, because why, would I have a block or something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just did a half hour.
Oh shit! Talk about. Hey, come on. Ron Funches just did his Comedy Central half hour.
That's Funches.
A fucking big deal, man.
There you go.
How was that?
It was really fun. I think I did a great job. I'm excited about it. I hope it comes out really well.
Good.
But it was like my main focus. Like even when we were doing the tour to promote Undateable, I was just basically doing the same set over and over, mm-hmm. and figuring out where this would go or that would go.
Yeah.
And
trying to prep for the half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart.
And so, now, which really put a break on me writing new stuff. And so then now, like, I put this out, and then, like, everything else that I did on Conan or whatever is pretty much rounds up to all my material.
Yeah.
And so now I'm kind of like, I don't know what to do. And then I keep being like, I'll never write another funny joke.
Because usually on the road, you're like, you're peppering in new stuff all the time, right? You're writing. Exactly. But if you're not giving yourself the opportunity to do that, then.
Yeah. Maybe was a mistake. Maybe I should have still been.
Nah, you made the right choice. I think if your instinct was telling you to do that and prep for the half hour, because I mean, you just said you felt like it went great. So.
Yeah, I'm happy with how it went. It's just now I'm dealing with the after effects.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm going to go do your show, and like I was like, I don't really want to say old stuff, but I'm like, I don't know.
No, do whatever you want. By the way, this crowd's gonna be so pumped, and like, it's you do whatever you want. You can do all new material if you want to.
Yeah, but it's just,
or you can do some of my material.
yeah, why not?
So I've been napping a lot.
Well, and it's always a daunting task, which you, Adam, you're facing it right now.
Yeah.
I've faced it too within the last year, where when you finally put out the content, you don't want people to see your content, say, hey, that guy's really funny, and then go see your show and see the exact same shit that they just saw. But
yeah, there can be pieces of it, because let's be honest, like, you know,
greatest hits,
you know, I am not at a Louis level to where I'm gonna like put out my first album and then immediately scratch it, because I mean, do I have, I was telling Brad this tonight, like there's probably at least a good I record the album in November, and there's a good 20 minutes that I don't have on that I will do tonight, and then probably another 5 or 7 that I worked on in the last 3 days that I might throw in there tonight, just because. But also I want, you know, but there's a balance too when you do a longer set. And also, I don't know if you ever factor in like friends coming to a show that have never seen you. Part of you is like, I don't want to just do all new shit, because like I want them to know that I am rocking this.
Right.
As much as you can trust yourself with your new shit, like, you know, if you do 4 new bits that just all kind of do okay, they're going to be like, yeah, I mean, yeah, you got good presence, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely not like trying to be like, oh, I need to go out there and do a whole new 20 today. Yeah. You know, like, I know that's ridiculous.
Totally.
But, you know, I understand, like, oh, I have this window now between when we taped it and when it comes out that I need to at least have 10 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a good bar to set for yourself, because when it comes out, then it's like more people are going to be on the Ron Funches fucking party train and going to want to come see you. And
that would be another great show for Ron to be on, the Ron Funches party train.
Dude, we're coming up. We've already. What was the first one? Munch and Funch?
Munch and cereal. Funches Munches?
Funches Munches is the cereal.
Yeah.
Funch,
yeah.
No. Well,
the doll.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole division that works.
Yeah. Now, and you said you try to wake up and write in the morning.
Yeah.
Is like, what's your. Now, are you. Do you write? Like, do you shut off the world? Are you looking on the internet? Or are you looking for inspiration?
Basically, I put on some instrumentals, whether they be like classic music or like some MF Doom, a lot, some jazz, anything that I can find that has kind of like this offbeat pattern that kind of mimics what I try to do.
That's crazy.
Okay,
I'll put that on in the background, and then I kind of just open up the Words docs and have some magnetic boards up so I can just write down ideas. But this is usually just like if I like at 2 a.m. if I just get an idea or something.
Are you one of those guys who like if you have an idea in the middle of the night, you got to wake up and write down?
Yeah.
Either like, but sometimes it's like if you write down even a phrase, that's not enough. You have to like write down the whole, at least in that moment, right? Of like what you're kind of thinking.
Yeah, if it's late at night, like, but that's when like it's great to have a girlfriend or something
to bounce off of, right?
Or even just be like, hey, write this down.
Secretary.
Write this down. You wake up. I woke up. You woke up. Write this down. Yeah, even if you don't get it.
Yeah. You know what I love?
Write it down.
You know what I love too about your style, man, is like it's so tough as a comic to get comfortable with silence and pauses. You know, like that's one thing that I really like had to consciously make an effort to get better at in the last like 3 years, because you know I think at least for me when I started off I talked too fast, and I would just try to hurry up and get to that punchline that I thought was going to get the laughs.
Yeah,
you know, and having the trust in yourself to like work a moment and massage a joke a little bit and let people like listen, and you do that brilliantly, man.
Thank you. I think it comes kind of from this like asshole perspective of like a lot of times it becomes where like, oh, I don't care about this punchline that's going to make you laugh. It's like, I want to manipulate you.
Yeah.
So part of that is going to be the silence. Part of this is going to be this false punchline that you think is the punchline. And then there's going to be a real punchline. And then, ha-ha, the joke was on you all along.
You love misdirection, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I love misdirection in my comedy. Definitely a couple of jokes. I mean, there's like this joke that starts off where it could be... I have a couple jokes start off where they could be racial, and then they're not.
The one on Conan.
Yeah.
So good. Do you even have that
your opener
clip, Brad? You can even pull that up.
Yeah. First of all, I'll ask you, because you're a comic, do you mind if we play that?
Not at all. Okay, I won't listen, but play.
that why is that always weird? Like we hear ourselves do these jokes every night, but when you hear a recording of yourself, it's always weird. Because
you always think you sound cooler than you are. You also think you're funnier than you.
Well, I'm well aware that I don't sound cool. But I think it's like I go in and you're like, oh, I thought I was a little bit better than that.
Totally, man.
What a bummer it is to just hear yourself and go, God, I thought it was pretty good, man.
Like, turns out.
What happened between 10 minutes ago and now?
It's okay, but I thought it was a little bit better than that.
Dude, Johnny Depp said on Letterman once, he was like, Letterman's like, have you seen Finding Neverland? And Johnny's like, no, I don't watch any of my movies, actually. I don't, I've never seen any of them. And he's like, you don't see any of your movies? And he's like, no, I haven't seen. He's like, you ever seen Pirates? He's like, no, I saw some still frames, but no. He's like, it was very good. They made 3 of them. And Johnny's like, yeah, no, I was there for them. But I just never watched them.
I totally get that.
I get, yeah.
I think sometimes, like, I watch some Undateable, and then was like, oh, okay, I see why. It becomes more like, if I look at it like an athlete, and we're like, oh, game tape, where I'm like,
yes.
I need to go like, oh, yeah. I made a mistake here, or this is something I would have done differently.
Do you listen to your sets like that? Do you tape your sets?
Yeah, I tape my sets, and then one month a year, I'm in a mood where I'm listening to all my sets.
Sure.
Every other month, they're just piling up on my phone.
Do you title them and stuff?
No. I just go, I mean, if I, the
kill set at it, Ice House.
But I definitely tape it just in case I go, oh, I heard something new. I need to go back and listen.
You always remember, I think, in the moment. Like, you tape because you're like, I'm not going to remember. But if something miraculous happens or some great handful of tags or whatever, like, you get off being like, okay, well.
Yeah, that's another weird thing that Ricky does, too, is, like, he'll find a great tag, and then he just abandons it. Like, he doesn't want to keep it.
That's so Andy Kaufman, huh?
Here's Ron Funches on Conan O'Brien. Here's the intro joke we're talking about.
Oh, it's good to see you guys again. Oh, hello, Mr. Whiteface.
Yeah, see, they're like, what?
I mean you no harm, so please don't come at me. That's a conversation I had with a kitty cat several days ago.
I love that.
There's one more little piece to it.
It's also now the slogan for Black History Month.
Yeah. mean,
boom.
Yeah.
Double turn.
Double turn.
Yeah. Back in the race.
And how many turns would you consider doing in that bit? There's only a couple, right? Right.
Yeah.
It's also, like, how many more of those? It's also this.
Right? Yes. We get it.
Yeah. But it's also this.
But, I mean, it's so, and I was telling Adam right before you got here, I love your comedy just because you put the audience at such an ease. When you walk on stage, you're smiling, you have an infectious smile, you have an amazing laugh, and the audience is just happy. Like, they're just in the audience, like, and they're happy watching you. Like, you really rub off on the audience that way, where they're just like, I'm just having a good time here.
Oh, that's a great compliment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because there's some comics where you watch them and it's very obvious that they're doing a performance. Not saying either way is bad, but, you know, like, they are the performer that night. When you walk on stage, it's like, oh, this is our dude. Like, this is our guy. Like, I feel like every guy has a friend that's like you know what I mean, like, just has that funny
I only have
friend.
One Ron Funches in my life.
Thank
and
God
I'm,
for
and
that
I'm totally happy with that.
I love having little Ron Funches in my
were
life
you, were you the funny guy in your group of friends growing up? Let me start with this. Did you have friends?
There we go.
Wow,
now we're hit.
Somebody get the tissues.
Okay.
I was
one more root beer.
It's mostly me and my sister. Like, yeah. She's 2 years younger than me. We'd hang out all the time. I was like Sega Genesis kid who would just play video games all the time. We were super poor, so that also affected some friendships. But not to say I didn't have friends. I definitely had friends. Yeah. I definitely remember having sleepovers where we play Royal Rumble and
that's
and
the best.
Yeah,
try to figure out who's the best, you know, wrestler in the school and stuff like that. So
all
I definitely had friends, but I was I would always say, like. Like, and I was the class clown, like, at my high school graduation, but, like, until that point, I was unaware that anyone liked me. Like,
what? Really?
Because I was never, like, the, like, guy, like, making fun of people or being the stereotypical class clown.
Sure.
I was more, like, watching that class clown and then making fun of them to my friends.
Oh, dude, that's the best. All right.
And so they were into that. So that was, like, you know, like, you think you're the party, but the real party is us over here making fun of you.
Well, dude, that's great.
Yeah, that, and it's great because you're not the guy that's trying. Like, you're not the guy that's out there like, look at me, everybody. I'm doing this shit. You're just like, ah, that guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and you're also observing, which is, like, a big part of how you start to develop a point of view, I feel like.
Yeah, right? yeah, definitely. It was I think that came because I think I moved around a lot, you know, from Chicago to Portland, and just learning that not anything, like, things that were cool in Chicago weren't necessarily cool in Oregon, and things that were cool in Oregon definitely would not be cool in Chicago. And so I just learned, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I can, like, whatever I want. That's why I'm sitting here in the NWO shirt in 2014.
Yeah, and you just own it.
Yeah, it's just, like, because it doesn't matter. Like, what you think is cool is not cool to somebody else. So
that's got
to
be a trip for anyone that's, like, moved states and gone to a different school, because you're in Chicago. You're like, all right, this thing is the trend in the Chicago schools. I'm going to come to Portland, and then the first day I'm going to drop my knowledge on whatever the hell that toy is or that TV show. And they're like, what the fuck? You're into Pogs. We've already moved on to whatever the hell action figure. You're like,
well,
shit.
Yeah, Chicago, they were more into, like, you know, Bulls and sports and not doing well in school, not showing that you were intelligent. And then in Oregon, it was all about, like, Grease.
Wow, there's
the
a
musical?
Jump.
Yeah.
No, I quit football sophomore year of high school to play Danny Zuko in Grease.
Oh, I could. You would nail it too.
I fucking crushed it. I wrote my college essay on it. Saying I crushed it.
There you go. You would have owned Portland schools, Adam. Yeah. Don't you realize that?
Loved you. Every girl I was attracted to would have loved you.
Oh. Are you a fan of musicals?
I would like to be in one. I'm not the biggest fan. I'm not that knowledgeable about them. But I think it would be fun to do.
They're the best. They're so fun.
Yeah, because, I mean, talk about going away from real life.
There's that thing in Family Guy, too, that one when Stewie references about being at the musical, and it's like they make fun of how, like, I don't know if you watch Family Guy much?
No, I'm not a Family Guy fan.
No. Ooh. Kidding at all.
Mm-mm.
Wow. Maybe I shouldn't even continue with this bit.
Well, it's like they have
said that with a little passion, too.
No.
He's like, I'm not a Family Guy fan. I went out for Stewie.
I was afraid to talk about it, and then recently I said it at a place, and then people were on my side, and it made me feel more like, oh, I can say this out loud.
All right. Why is that, though?
Just not into it. I get the appeal. Yeah. I feel like it's like throwing paint against the wall of like, here are like 95 million jokes. A couple of them work. Most of them are based off of, hey, do you remember this from your past?
Sure.
I'm not into what they do with that main character. I understand that it's like they joke on everything, but I feel like, and like maybe I'm stepping out of bounds, but who cares? I'm not going to get hired by him. But it's like, dude, just say you're gay and that you hate women, like, then I would respect a little bit more about what you're doing. But don't be like, I'm not gay and I just love musicals and I dress like this and I look like this. And but also all my jokes are about how I hate women and that like they get murdered in every one of my episodes.
Kind of, yeah. There's
breaking it down for me right now.
So wait, so is there a what was your comedic influence when you were moved to in Chicago? I guess like what were the cartoons?
Cartoons for sure. Definitely cartoons.
Muppet Babies, you mentioned.
Muppet Babies. Big Muppet Babies fan.
Do you love this Muppet poster that I have up?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I was a giant Muppet Babies fan too, but the Muppets in general, I just... why I also love the Muppet Babies as much as the Muppets is because it was Jim Henson created, and I have a really big problem getting on board with it. I'm glad the Muppets are still there, man, because like I don't want them to... Yeah, also one of the greatest theme songs of all time. Can you sing this first part here? Do you know it?
I think I do.
When your room's kind of weird and you wish that you weren't there...
Dude, you are ready for the fucking Broadway.
There you go.
The animal voice was always so great because I'm like, whose voice actually sounds like that? And then Rolf was just kind of like, hey.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm cool, man. I'd be a jazz piano player in any other series.
Smoking doobies.
Rolf for sure smoked pot and played that fucking piano. And he, what a blast, dude, because he's like, hey, Fozzie, you know this one? He's like, is it that Beethoven? And he's like, no, motherfucker, it's Tchaikovsky. Fuck it.
Well, I think they're always cool because it's just basically like a bunch of, you know, artists, musicians,
yes,
and actors and comedians that are hanging out.
I picked up on that early too and mm-hmm. really dug that about it.
Yeah, and so it's like, oh, this is the chillest life, and so it makes it seem so cool.
Yeah,
I remember this is completely off, not off topic, but
that's what this podcast
different.
Is.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember like one of the times where I was like, oh, I need to start doing comedy or I need to work in entertainment. I went to a Parliament Funkadelic concert in Portland, and
what a concert?
Parliament Funkadelic. Like George Clinton.
Oh, I don't know shit. If you're
familiar with this guy. He's famous and amazing.
I know what he looks like. I know he's got a fucking rainbow in his head.
Rainbow head is full of funk music. I went to one of their concerts. It was 3.5 hours of just them playing. I danced for that full 3.5 hours. Had like the best time in my life. And they were just like on stage smoking doobies and having a good time. And then I was like, oh, I got to go to work tomorrow. And then like they were getting in a bus going to another show. And I was just like, I want that life. I want
holy
that
shit.
Life.
When was that?
That was probably like 6 months before I started comedy. So like,
so seven, dude, seven, the seven, fact that you're getting to,
yeah.
I mean, that's so dope.
Yeah, just dancing, dancing, dancing.
How could you not be dancing to this song, dude? That fucking slider. So good. I feel like you could bust out some pretty sweet roller skating moves to that song.
Oh, for sure.
Do you ever roller skate?
In the past,
yeah.
Not recently.
I
told you to keep this quiet.
You didn't know I'm in the comic roller skating group.
There's got to be
it's
one.
It's me, Jim Gaffigan. I would just assume that Jim Gaffigan would be in the roller skating
sure.
group. I don't know why.
Brett Ernst, and he'd probably rip it up for real.
Brett Ernst would be like, yeah, that's his
roller skating music
joke.
Is always like the songs that like people either tried to turn on in the car when they're up at Lookout Mountain trying to get that hand under the shirt.
Ooh.
It was like there was speaking of Color Me Bad. There was a lot of that in my at my roller skating parties. There was also
Color Me Bad.
Yeah, there was lots of. There might have been Jamiroquai. The thing about roller skating that I remember is that after the kids would get off, there'd always be like 7 to 12 adults in just in jeans and these like button ups,
tracksuits.
Oh, tracksuits.
Where like that was their week,
and they brought a case that they opened up, and that's where their skates were.
Oh shit!
They were wearing sunglasses indoors.
They,
some
like,
of them
started off skating backwards.
They didn't even wait for backwards skate. They're like, dude, fuck it, I'm doing this now.
That's so funny.
You're so right, though, man. That was such a big fuck you. As soon as the kids got off, dude, I fucking struggled to get down to hold my foot up for Shoot the Duck. And this guy just enters the floor the opposite direction. He's like, see ya, man.
He
backs up and watches me fucking holding the railing to get off.
Trying to get out. Struggling down the carpet.
Oh, my God.
I mean, to go from roller floor to carpet was the worst 1-2 punch.
Oh, yeah. Because then, you're going fast and you're slick, and all of a sudden you hop on the carpet, and it's like, oh,
dude, so many
sudden
kids
stop. And, like, oh, and just to make it easier on them, let's put the brake on the toe because it's a natural stopping motion to lean all your weight forward as you're coming to a sudden stop with these fucking roller skates.
Wait, so then you get to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what other shows that weren't cartoons were you in Living Color at all?
Always, definitely in Living Color.
Yeah.
That we watched that at my house all the time.
It's a staple for, I think, most
Simpsons,
people.
The Simpsons, for sure. And then I Love Lucy was like one of my main.
I Love Lucy?
Yeah.
Talk about that. What about that?
I just love it. I love Lucille Ball. I'm a big fan of Lucille Ball. I like that show. If I was like going to get married again, I need to be a lady like Lucy. That's like scheming but hot, but then also like, you know, her schemes don't go that well sometimes. But, then,
but she's got ideas.
She got ideas, and that's the main thing.
She's got dreams.
She got dreams. She got ideas, and she's not going to be denied. And if I needed her to, she'd sell me on the street like a gangster, like a drug dealer. Like she's
the comparing Lucille Ball to a drug dealer. I don't think it's ever been done before, but the way you put it, I'm on board.
No, there's an episode where she buys too much meat. She buys a side of a cow, and so then she goes out in front of a butcher shop. She has like a stroller, like it's a baby. But then she's like, keeps leaning over to people, and she's like, psst, hey, hey, you want to buy that flank steak? Tell you what I'm going to do. 20 cents a pound.
She also was a fearless performer.
Yeah, she was the best. And she greenlit Star Trek. Like, her production company did some real...
Really?
Real work. It wasn't just like a celebrity's production company.
And right? you're big into the... extraterrestrial stuff? No, what would you say Star Trek is?
Star Trek is sci-fi.
Yeah,
not big in, I mean, I just think that's cool. Like, I'm not a big Star Trek guy. Unless you thought you were talking about real extraterrestrials within.
I'd like to talk about that. You believe in aliens and ghosts?
Yeah, totally. Why not? It's way funner than not.
You know what?
Great point, man.
That's the best explanation I've ever heard. It's way more fun to believe in that,
dude.
I want to know that Mac and me might be down at fucking Pink Dot right now.
Wow. Good reference, sir. Yeah,
come on, dude.
Mac and me.
Yeah, you made red vines fall out of my mouth.
I was having this conversation. I mean, I can get on board with more so of aliens and ghosts than I can with robots. Robots actually.
Robots are real.
Yeah, robots
what the
exist.
Fuck are you talking about?
No. What I'm saying is robots being like a part of society. Like, I would rather Mac and me or E.T. be fucking chilling at a bus stop or selling you produce at Ralph's versus robots, I don't know, parking your car for you. Like, I just feel like I read this article that said that robots in, like, by 2029, we're going to be able to, like, experience shit and, like, have feelings and stuff. I don't know if you've seen a little movie called I, Robot with Will Smith. That shit is fucking terrifying.
It never ends well. Yeah.
I did not murder
him. Guess what?
By the time robots really do get all their ducks in order and figure out how to fucking, like, run shit, Will Smith is going to be, like, 95. Who's going to save us? That pussy-ass bitch son of his, Jaden? Sorry, Jaden. I know you listen to the podcast. podcast. You're actually pretty dope. I'd love to do a movie with you, but I don't think you're going to be the guy that's going to save us, man. I think there's bigger fish to fry, and we're going to need more assassins.
Right? And why do our robots need emotions? Why when you shut off your computer without doing it the proper way, when you turn it on the next time, just go, why'd you turn me off the improper way, fucker?
Yeah.
That was fucked up.
Yeah, now I got a virus. Like, yeah. Me all upset.
What about aliens and ghosts do you dig?
So
what about aliens and ghosts do I dig? That is the weirdest question.
Dude, Ron, I'm all about
why
weird
questions.
Why
you digging on aliens and ghosts?
Why not?
Yeah, it's just cool. It's just like, I mean, I think it seems egotistical to think that we're like the only people in this whole fucking solar system, or even further solar systems that we can't even see.
I'm watching Cosmos on Fox.
It's fucking blowing my mind. Sober.
Love it. You watched the old one too, or just the new one?
No, I didn't watch the Carl Sagan. I'm just watching the Neil deGrasse Tyson one, and that's fucking insane. What would you say if an alien showed up? What would you like if you got a face to face with one? What kind of dialogue do you? I mean, obviously that's an in the moment type of.
He'd go roller skating with him. I have a feeling.
Yeah, go roller skating, and then I'd be like, "Hey, you guys made iPads, didn't you? Like, because we just had regular Walkmans, and then you're gonna tell me that a human made an iPad? No way. You did that, didn't you? And then they probably just give me like a head nod.
You crazy punches.
Yeah. Yeah, we made iPads. Yeah,
weird alien head nod. All right, so
you've done Conan how many times?
Yeah.
Twice.
And is like your first time doing Conan, are you just sitting there behind the curtain like nervous as hell and just?
Yeah, for sure. Like super nervous, super excited. Just never been through it before.
Did you get to talk to Conan before at all?
No.
No?
It was definitely nerve-wracking.
Because you've only been down here for how long?
I've been here for almost 2 years.
Okay.
Now.
Still pretty new.
Yeah, that's pretty quick to get Conan.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first time I did Conan, I still lived in Portland.
Oh, wow.
And so I just came here, and I'm still married, and so my wife was here, my son was here. It was super nerve-wracking, but then I was excited. This time, it was kind of also this. It wasn't nerve-wracking, because I was like, I know what to expect. I like these people. I like working with them. Mm-hmm. But then it was also like, oh, can I do this without my wife being here? Can I do this by myself?
Interesting.
Like
without a support system?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still had one. Like, it was great. Like, Ricky and Brent and all the boys from Undateable showed up.
Yeah.
And so it was not like I didn't have support. I definitely had support, but it still made me feel like, oh, I can. Because she might be like, hey, you can't do this without me. I'm like, no, I can't.
Nah, bitch, I got this shit.
That's in your head a little bit.
Yeah, sure, I don't got my wife, but I got Chris D'Elia and Rick.
Chris kind of looks like a girl with that long, beautiful hair.
Yeah. Sure, shave off the goatee.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah, those eyes, come on.
How old is your kid?
He's going to be 11 on the 23rd.
And you and your wife are amicable?
Not particularly. It depends on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're super the divorce is like almost done. Like cool. It's still going through, but like she thinks I make way more money than I do.
They always do.
Yeah. Like,
they always
I have
do.
No idea. But whatever.
But your kid, the best. You love him.
I love him. He's the dopest. He's so cool.
You seem like you'd be the most fun dad in the world.
Oh, shit.
you walked in here and busted out red vines and root beer. I'm like, I never had a red vine and root beer with my dad, motherfucker.
Jesus.
I want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we're real chill. Maybe, I think there's two sides to it. Maybe I should be more disciplinarian, but I'm not living there now, so that's more difficult.
Right.
So it's like I definitely am fun dad, so it's not.
Yeah, because disciplining when you're seeing someone infrequently to then be just laying down the hammer every time, like you don't want to do that, because then you leave them with a taste of,
dad's here, that means life sucks.
He's a good kid, so it's not like I'm worried about him being a jerk, but like, I mean, that's one of the things that we, she's like, oh, you show up for a weekend and you're super cool and now you're the number one parent and I'm here every day. So I understand some of her issues, but at the same time, I'm not going to spoil them.
Yeah,
that's why
right.
I'm hard.
Yeah. Would you see pieces of Ron in him?
Yeah. Well, he's like a little white me. Like
that's amazing. He's a little white me?
He basically.
I think that was a Woody Harrelson movie, right? Little white me?
because he's so pale. He's halfway, but he's like super pale, and but his body is like mine.
So, oh shit!
So and he has like a big fro. Sometimes depends on
white fro.
Do you try to throw some comedic stuff at him at 11 to try to like shape his sensibility, or you let him kind of figure
he's
out?
He's super funny on his own. Like he's
what has he done that's made you laugh in the past couple months?
Well, my favorite thing is he started masturbating, and he'll lock.
Wow, going right to the masturbating.
But he'll lock. Like not just his room, like he'll kick you out of the house.
Oh my god, that's fucking brilliant.
Mom, Dad, I don't know where you gotta be, but you can't be here. Some shit's gonna go down
or see my face after it happens. Even an hour after I come out of my room.
I don't want you to be in the blast radius when the shit goes off.
That's a great call by him.
Yeah, super smart. It's super, I totally get it.
It's a private moment. You want it to be really
like, you guys gotta go, but I just imagine him just like if it was like late at night, like, you just hear like get out.
I had a rough day. You just leave the house. Yeah. All of a sudden you hear Lionel Richie blaring from the bedroom. You're like, oh, some shit's going down.
Lionel Richie
Junior's having some fun.
Yeah, he's just looking at like pictures of Layla from Futurama.
Oh shit. Or Jessica Rabbit, maybe.
Yeah, that was my favorite. Dude, that was right? My first.
That was the tunes.
That was the first time I saw a cartoon and was like, okay, why'd you make her that real? Because I'm having to figure some stuff
feelings.
Out now.
I'm having feelings.
I'm having feelings.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like watching Jessica Rabbit's dress the same way you would watch a real dress. Like, oh, it might be a nip slip. I'm like, nah, she's a cartoon. That shit can't happen.
Very well sketched.
No, have, like a big thing for curvy redheads because of...
Jessica Rabbit.
Lucy.
Yeah. Oh, and Lucy. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. She was, that another thing, too, when I worked at Universal Studios for 7 years.
Oh, they had the Lucy exhibit, right?
Yeah, the Lucy exhibit. And then Lucy, she still walks around. There's certain characters that have left. Like when I played Wolverine at Universal Studios for 3 years. And then they took all the Marvel.
Two.
Yeah. Then they played they took all the Marvel characters out of the park because Disney bought them. Yeah. And so it was just like gone. Like it was like crazy because like I did Wolverine like 3 days a week, but there's some people that have been doing Spider-Man and Captain America for like 7-8 years, 5 days a week. And that was like their livelihood. And it was good money. And so I remember going in there one day and one of the guys who played Spider-Man, who would wear Spider-Man apparel when he wasn't working. And I was like, hey, Jason, all know you're Spider-Man, dude. We can bring it down a notch. And it was like the type of guy where you're like, I was like, dude, he's so bummed. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry, man. But like, maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Maybe you can finally go back and you know, like get that law degree or do something like that. And he's like, dude, I'm Spider-Man, man. Okay. That's what I do. Shit. That's what I'm supposed to do. I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
Like some of these got lost in that world. But then like, so then Lucy would be one of the few left. Maybe Shrek. Doc Brown, I think, just split because Back to the Future now is getting replaced by the Harry Potter ride. It's like,
oh,
shit, man.
Oh, my God.
Wait, they're taking out the Back to the Future ride? Yeah. Well, that already got taken out and replaced by... What was the Mummy roller coaster?
Son of a bitch.
E.T., the E.T. ride got replaced by...
Son of a bitch.
The fucking Air Bud goalie or something.
Yeah,
Air Bud the goalie experience. You try to block a kickball from a dog.
They still got Captain EO going. Michael Jackson's still up there.
He was the best. Were you an MJ fan?
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, how could you not be, man?
What are some of your... comedy movies that influence you or that you like would want to have the same career of.
Ooh.
There you go.
Of people? Now?
Sure.
I'm just thinking comedians now?
Yeah.
Of people's careers.
Body of work.
I want to mimic.
Besides Carrot Top, obviously.
Besides Carrot Top, chairman of the board, never beat it.
I put a chair on a 2x4. I'm the chairman of the board. It's so funny.
Love you, Scott.
I listen to a lot of rap music, and sometimes when I listen to instrumentals, I'll rap along and then I'll call myself, I'll be like, a young black Patton Oswalt. So that would probably be one.
Yeah. Cool. Young black Patton Oswalt. I like it. Hey, you know what? I mean, they redid the Honeymooners with an all-black cast. They should, like, redo the careers of white comedians.
They should redo the Goonies.
I just like his character. I was like, oh, he works on cool stuff. He's always got, like, a... like you look at the things he's done, he's not done like lame shows except for like, maybe Mad TV. But even back then, Mad TV was pretty cool. And then like he just did cool movies and like he's always got working on stand up. So I really like that type of career. That's probably my favorite.
Is it cool knowing that your life, like when this show starts airing, like your life has already changed because of this show, Undateable. But when it starts airing, like you know your life is going to be different. Like that is going to happen in some way, shape, or form. Like is that a cool thought process? Is it a scary thought process?
I didn't really think about it.
It's like God. Now until you bring it up, yeah, oh my God,
you bring it up. It's a little different. I just know I want it to be successful. I like it. Like that's my main thing is that I like it. I'm proud of it. I think it's fun that we do it. We do a lot of improv, which is fun, and like I've been pretty lucky because I can't go back through many things that I've done and been like, "Oh, I wish I didn't do that." But it's definitely like where I'm like, oh, I want this to work because it's fun.
Right.
I can make good money. I can buy things for my son. Mm-hmm. And like that's all I really
need. And be in town, have a normal like 9-to-5. The sitcom schedule people don't realize is like, why do you think a lot of movie stars are going to TV? Because they don't have to be in France or Belgium or Kuwait for six. I don't know what's filming in Kuwait, but you're out there for four or five months. And then like when you're shooting a show, it's like you're in town. And also that's why Chris was able to do Whitney and go up every night. Like he would say, Whitney was always like, why are you still doing shows? He's like, because we're done at like 3 and 4 sometimes.
Yeah. I think it's, I mean, and that's the best because then you're like, oh, stand up is a treat again. Like, because it always was like when you're first having to work a regular job and still do stand up, you're like, oh, I can't wait till I don't have to work a regular job and I'm just doing stand up. And then you start learning the bad aspects of going, having to do the radio in the morning and having to travel to cities that you don't necessarily want to be in and do 45 minutes in front of crowds that don't necessarily know that you were going to be the comedian that night.
Wait, I thought it was bingo night. Now I got to listen to comedy. Yeah, I mean, and being stuck in hotels where the club owner just drops out of the hotel, you're like, hey, where do I eat? They go, I don't know, figure it out.
Yeah, where do I eat?
I think there was a Lean
what
Cuisine Center.
What do I do?
There.
Yeah. Like, how do I not die of boredom?
And then how do you adapt to all that stuff? Because you're just starting to get some more road work now with everything.
Yeah, well, I mean,
up.
I just bring more video games with me. I try to go out and do, you know, I know how to go to the movies or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But catch up on sleep. That type of stuff, you get to the daily grind of it, and you're like, oh, this is a job. But then when you're working on the show, and then you're like, oh, I can't wait to just go out and just perform and stand up.
Because just you. At the end of the day, I mean, obviously being on a show and all that stuff is amazing, but like there's a lot of other things that you're working with, which make it great too, the amount of people that work to make a show happen.
Well,
but
just the immediate, just I mean, like we've been waiting, we wrapped a show over Christmas and it comes out in May, you know, like so that time of waiting for people to see it and see if they like it doesn't happen in stand up like I know that night,
right? And it's like, it's, you said you wrapped it in over Christmas, like you have this thing that you want to tell everyone about. It's like this, it's really cool, but they don't know and they can't know until it comes out.
It's like, because it's like based off of this dating book and like it seems, sounds like it's like, oh, Chris is just gonna teach these guys how to date. Like I read all these previews of people who've never even seen a trailer or episode yet, and they're just like, oh, it sounds stupid. Like it sounds like,
I was gonna say, are you starting to like do you read any comments on anything, like videos or reviews?
I try to stay away from any video comments because I've learned my lesson there. You know, you'd be depressed for 2 or 3 days working around real hard at the gym.
Right. Like, I love when people comment like on your stand-up videos and say, not funny. You're like, dude, the audience is laughing in the video.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
You can say that, though, because that's like, but that's the problem is that, like, you know, freedom of speech and you're entitled to opinion.
Sure.
That's why comedy's so great. It is subjective.
Yeah, but like, why sometimes? But or even if you do, I understand if you hate it. Like,
think
on
that,
the Conan, my second Conan, there's like this comment. And I tried not to go look through comments. It just popped up at me. And it was just like, it just goes, meh.
That's great, though, man. Somebody that's
that got
the time
it.
To write meth.
Yeah.
That's, I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Like, so the guy that went to the racist, like, three-page rant, you're like, I don't give a fuck about him, whatever. But then some dude just goes, meh.
Yeah, that
really
sends to me. I was like, at least hate it. Like,
yeah.
Hate it.
You don't know who stands fully on that. Meh is very neutral.
Yeah, you're like, this thing that I've been working on for the past 7 years, meh.
It's summed up in meh. Well, I guarantee your special will not be meh, and I guarantee Undateable will not be meh.
Absolutely.
That dude, that's a great just meh, dude. And also, it's like, that is, usually when people ask you, like, they're like, hey, how's the new Turkey Ranch and Swiss at Quiznos? And you're like, meh. And it's like, you know, that's usually being like, I bought it and ate it, and I enjoyed it. When I get it again, I don't
special.
Know.
Yeah. Meh.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, well, how was my life's work? That was the thing I've dedicated my heart and soul and broken relationships to and sacrificed time with my son and spent all walking hours of the day having anxiety about. How was it? How did you affect you? The thing that I'm doing just to make you solely as a person happy.
Such a bummer. Did you have a day job before all this?
I had a couple. I worked at a grocery store as a clerk.
Oh my god! So did I.
You guys bag boys?
I worked as a cashier, male cashier.
Yeah, there you go. You can upgrade.
Yeah.
I was a bagger, a stalker, and then customer service booth, and then would fill in for the, there was a stretch about like 7 months where like late night at the grocery store when there's fucking one checker and a lot of people shop late at night, I'd have to like fill in all the time. Mm-hmm. And that is not an easy fucking job, man.
No, it's not easy. I was good at it. I'm just always good talking. Yes. So like, always knew is like, people would come to my line even if there were like empty lines. Like people,
they knew.
Oh, I
like,
want to go talk, which was always fun. Except for one time when the guy was like, "Oh, I wanna go to that niggardly cashier."
Oh,
I was like, I didn't even think that's a word.
I mean, it is, but it doesn't mean that.
Wait, what?
I was like, I gotta get out of here. Maybe this isn't the thing I think is cool.
And did he expect you after he says that to be? Wait. Well, first of all, most racist thing you could say. Secondly, totally improper grammar because niggardly is actually a word, but it doesn't mean. Like, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't
is
mean
it?
Anything.
What does it mean?
It means. Come on, SAT training.
If you're gonna say it, you now have to have the definition, motherfucker.
I'm pretty sure it means like stingy or cheap. I think I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah,
but
you gotta
look
it up.
But like now I'm scared to type it into Google because I think like NIGG equals like totally gonna interrupt me. What the fuck are you typing into me, man?
It's just gonna iterate all the different weird porn that you're in.
The grocery store to me also as a cashier is like such a tough job because you have
I got it
either,
right
either 40 seconds
niggardly
either,
adjective not generous stingy what's up
fair enough 40 seconds to 4 minutes of a small talk with people that you probably get to know and seeing around because you get regulars that come to the store but then also tons of new people so it's like and some people don't want to have small talk so like I would start pulling small talk from their items like I'd be like oh Pop Tarts that's what's your favorite flavor cherry I'm more of a brown sugar guy that's great chapstick
exactly.
Gotta keep your lips fucking hydrated you know and
you start to see why you're like oh why this career like some of those things are like oh these are training things
because I'm sure you would be funny like quick you'd have like a small finite amount of time to maybe make their day in a way
I had three jobs that definitely I look back and I go oh these were always training me to get into stand up definitely that cashier job I worked at a call center for a bank
and keep someone on the line
absolutely them yelling at me
gotta be
I
funny
gave away tons of money they hated me for that but I was robbing that bank
good for you man
I love it because I hated banks I'm a big weirdo and so I was like oh how am I working at my head it's my son. So I was like, I'm gonna go work at this bank, and then like people get fees back, and I look at your fees, and then you just be like,
yeah, this doesn't make sense. You like overdrew by 90 cents and you got charged like $180.
Jesus.
I agree with you. I'm not supposed to agree with you. I'm supposed to not give you money back. And then you start like talking to going to meetings and you hear these things and you're like, oh, this is like the things you think about banks are real. Where they're just like, yeah. Oh, if someone has a lot of money in your bank and they want a fee reverse, give them their money back. And if somebody's super broke, go in and look at their score that tells you how much money they usually have, and that can determine whether or not they're going to get a fee. But that just like knocks you into this loop of never being able to get out, you know, because you're constantly behind. And so
Which is what they want. Holy and shit. So what was your third job?
Third job was working at a Liberty Tax Service as one of the Lady Liberty shine things. Oh, the people.
Dancers on the corner?
Yep.
With the sign. Yeah, they're dancing like with the sign that says, hey, tax stuff in here.
Oh, yeah, I think doing that, I was like, oh, I can't be embarrassed when I do things on stage.
No kidding. Yeah, it's like, yeah, like you think I'm embarrassed to be on stage. I was on the corner in a fucking Lady Liberty outfit.
Yeah, in front of like my ex-wife's mom would ride by and shit.
Like, what would they say?
Not like she always was never a big fan.
Look at this motherfucker on the corner.
Oh, how's comedy working out?
Oh, no, while you're in the suit spinning. She just drives by and goes, meh.
Like, yeah, but I was good at that too. Like, people would get out of their cars and take pictures with me. Like, I always was like, I learned that, like, oh, you are good at this. Like, when you talk to people, you're good at cashier. I worked at the bank. I survived even though like I would barely go to work. You're supposed to take 100 calls a day. I take like 30. And I would, but I survived because I could talk to people.
Yeah. Right.
And
you made those 30 count.
Yeah. And then the same thing with the tax service. It was funny because my boss was like, yeah, he's like, I knew George Lopez. He's like, you're going to be okay.
Well, you know what, dude? Steve Martin wrote in his book, he said, you will use everything that you've ever learned. And you took those three jobs that some people would look at as these are just shit jobs, whatever. But you drew. You drew from all those experiences, and you could tell that they translate to your act on stage and your personality in general. Like I said before, you're a fun guy on stage. When you go see Ron Funches live, you're not going to be sitting in the audience with your arms crossed going, oh, this guy. No, you're going, you're meh.
Well, that one guy might be.
That one asshole.
Might get some meds. Is that what you
said? Might be some meds out there. Might be some, like, I don't know what the fuck this is.
Well, we're going to, we're all going to perform tonight, my CD show, which I'm super fired up about.
Pop-Tart Suicide.
Pop-Tart Suicide.
Yeah, Adam Ray's new comedy.
What do you think about that title?
I like it. I don't understand it.
Good.
Oh, I'm assuming it's based off a joke that I haven't heard.
Well, you know what it's based off of? It's based off of a little bit of my love for Pop-Tarts as a child. Mm-hmm. Hey, I still love them. As a kid.
They have peanut butter chocolate ones now.
What?
Have you seen this?
No. All right, we got to go to Rite Aid right now.
Rite Aid, no. Rite Aid's got like four flavors. You've got to go to the places that have aisles dedicated to PT.
Yeah, chocolate.
I like that you call it PT. Holy shit, you're a dedicated Pop-Tarts fan.
Peanut butter, what else?
And then like regular peanut butter, but like I felt like chocolate peanut butter. I should have led with regular peanut butter.
built up.
There's some of those flavors, and they've got like root beer float and like Snickers and like there's like, you know.
I don't like getting too wild because then I'm just like, oh, I'm just eating poison.
Exactly.
But when you're like, oh. Chocolate and peanut butter. Hey, you should been putting peanut butter in Pop-Tarts
forever. Why is this taking so long? So we're all going to do this show tonight.
That's going to be great.
For your CD release party, Adam Ray. It's going to be a blast.
Which is on my website at adamraytv.com, along with all my tour dates. Ron, where can your fans see your tour dates?
They can see my tour dates at ronfunches.com.
That's FUNCHES.
That is it. Correct.
There you go.
Follow me on Twitter at ronfunches. I don't think I can take any more Facebook friends. But, so I guess those are your two. I'm also on Instagram, sometimes posting pictures of illegal things.
I'm following you based on that pitch right there.
And if you haven't seen Ron on the Kroll Show or At Midnight, find those clips online because you're fucking just great on those. And your Pete Holmes appearance was so good.
Chase Chelsea Lately tomorrow. When does this come out?
Next Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would have already happened?
But you can find it online somewhere, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, watch Undateable on
on NBC.
Yeah.
Debuting.
May 29th.
May 29th.
9, 8 Central back-to-back episodes.
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's the way to do it. An hour of Funches.
I got a really good feeling about it. I went to that live taping. It was you guys' last one. And it was just like, I don't know, man. The chemistry. We talked about this with a handful of guests, like with the Workaholics guys, about how coming in with chemistry already and like how shows are make or break because of that. And you can tell it's like when they recast, they do this, and it's like you guys knowing each other and then having the common bond of being stand-ups and the way to improv. And then, dude, you're just the X factor on the show because you got like five or six applause breaks in one scene. And it's just like I've been to a handful of live tapings and done a few, and it's like you can tell the energy from the audience, man, when they're like, wow, I think we're getting to watch something pretty special before it gets crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that much experience, so I know, like, am I just delusional?
Mm-hmm. But no, you're not.
I will go there, I'm like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
Like, this is good. And that's why I'm like, I hate these mess and I hate these predetermined, like, I think it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
But, like,
it's like let it happen. Watch it. Judge it then.
But that's not how we work. But that's okay. I should let that go. And plus, you know, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be pumping it. I wouldn't be like, oh, I really like doing this.
Good.
And so I think it's going to be great. I just hope people give it a chance.
I hope you get to do it for 25 seasons.
Yeah.
That's too many.
let's go 9. Let's just go How I Met Your Mother's Dad is. Get that syndication money, and then we'll be all right.
Well, I'm fine with 6.
Unfortunately, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.